Welcome to the Disney Park Wanderer podcast. I'm your host, Emma Albertson, and this is episode number 65. In today's episode, I'm going to be planning my ideal return to Disneyland Paris. As I mentioned last week, Disneyland Paris is going to be reopening on June 17th. And so it got me into thinking about what I would do if I was able to go, whenever I am able to go, whether that be next year, the year after, we will see. So if you are abroad listening to this and you are lucky enough to be going to Disneyland Paris when it reopens, or if you're just simply interested in Disneyland Paris and want to know my thoughts and ideas of things to do, then stay tuned. However, before we get into that, let's dive into our Disney News Bulletin. Those of you who are Hocus Pocus fans will be happy to know there's an update on the sequel. So Hocus Pocus 2 is supposed to be coming into cinemas next fall or autumn 2022. And also they have confirmed that all three original actresses who played the Sanderson sisters will be returning. So that's Sarah Jessica Parker, Bette Midler and Kathy Najimy. So you just got a little bit longer to wait for that if you are a fan. In Disney World, we've seen a brand new spirit jersey pop up. We always love spirit jerseys, but it is getting hot. So we started to see some more lightweight spirit jerseys. They're the same kind of design, they're just a thinner material. This design is based on Stitch. It is a pale blue, different shades of blue and white tie-dye design. There is a Stitch on the front doing a handstand on the Walt Disney World logo. And then there is a huge Stitch across the back. This will set you back $69.99 and you can find it in Walt Disney World and on Shop Disney. But spirit jerseys always sell out really quickly, so if you love Stitch, get on this right now. Also over in Walt Disney World, Ample Hills Creamery has gone from the boardwalk and in its place is Boardwalk Ice Cream. So here you can find sundaes and ice cream cones to go. Supposedly, the menu here is inspired by the menu over at Beaches and Cream. So those of you who love Beaches and Cream but don't want a sit-down thing or don't want to have to make a reservation, this might be a nice backup for you. So this ice cream parlor will be having all different flavors of ice cream from Edie's ice cream line, including coffee, pecan, cookies and cream, rainbow sherbet. But also they have another brand of ice cream that is dairy-free. So if you have some dietary restrictions, this might be a good place to stop. Now, I will say, is it worth a special trip to go here? Probably not. But if you're in the area or your hotel is in the area, it could be a great spot to grab some ice cream. Now let's head over to Tokyo Disneyland where their Harbor Greeting, which is kind of a small stage show where you can see Mickey and friends and they kind of welcome you to the park. They've got a new overlay called the Yusapio. I think that's how you pronounce it, layover. And I guess it's kind of inspired by Easter. It'll be running through June 30th. It looks like it's kind of dancing and singing with chicks and bunnies and the Disney characters. So that's a little update to the show and it's nice to see any new stage shows coming back after the pandemic. Disneyland Paris now. So this one is kind of sad, but interesting to see what they're going to do in its place. So Disneyland Paris has had, since it opened in 1992, a stage show over in Disney Village called Buffalo Bill's Wild West Show. And it's kind of a barbecue meal. You sit down and you can see Wild West action, like cowboys. They had live animals as well, I believe, like horses, bulls, all that kind of stuff. But it looks like they are finally removing this show. They've taken down the signs and the posters for it. So I think they're finally replacing it with something else, or maybe they're going to make something different with the space, but we will keep you updated when we find out. But it's kind of exciting and intriguing to see where they're going to go with this. Then last but not least, a little bit of news from the West Coast in Disneyland, California. First up, Disneyland Hotel will be reopening July 2nd. And while it's been closed, they've been doing a little bit of renovation. They've reupholstered the rooms, there's new carpets throughout, and it just looks a little bit fresher. Three food places will be opening with Disneyland Hotel, including Trader Sam's Tiki Bar. And then also this week in Disneyland, they have been releasing, ahead of the 4th of June opening, the different menus in the Avengers Campus restaurants. Now, there's lots of really fun things on the menu, but one thing that caught my attention is they have an $100 sandwich over at Pim's Test Kitchen. It's called the Pimini sandwich. However, before you freak out, it does feed 6 to 8 people, so it kind of makes the price tag a little bit more reasonable when you divide it by 8. But if you want to check out the menus and the kind of food you can expect, because I think there's 3 or 4 places you can eat at Avengers Campus, head to the Disneyland website and you can see a full list of what they have. Okay, let's dive into today's episode, planning my ideal return to Disneyland Paris. I think the way that I'd probably be doing my next Disneyland Paris trip, depending on how things go, would be when I'm on a trip home to visit my family in England. And that actually is pretty convenient because, as most of you know, Disneyland and England are connected in various different ways, one of the easiest being the Eurostar. So I think I would definitely go for the Eurostar because it is super convenient, it's quick, and you're basically right there in the heart of the magic within a couple of hours. So obviously I'm talking about things in maybe a year, 2 years, maybe 3 years time. So obviously I'm hoping things will be back to normal by then. So I'm gonna be talking as if they are. So if you want to take any of this advice for when it reopens this year, that's up to you, but I can't guarantee that all these things will be running how they were. So on that note, Eurostar typically goes, I normally go from Ashford because it's closer to my hometown, but there's also another station in London called St. Pancras, and I'm sure theirs is more regular. But in Ashford, typically there was 3 trains a day, and I think the earliest was like 9:30 or 10 in the morning. So already with the nearly 3-hour trip and the hour time difference, you're looking to get to Disney already pretty late, like 1 or 2 o'clock in the afternoon. So that's basically a half day. And when you come back, I'm pretty sure again, the latest you can leave is probably 5, 6, or 7 o'clock in the evening. So not super late, but also still another half day in the parks for you. So my recommendation typically, and also to save money on hotels, I say that you do a 3-day, 2-night stay. Treat day 1 and day 3 as 2 half days to do one of the parks, and then the day in the middle, you spend all day on the park you haven't been to. So that is what I would do for this layout, just because I find that is the best way to do things if you're doing the Eurostar. And also, you got to think, with the Eurostar, when you arrive at that train station, you are literally in walking distance from every single thing, so you don't have to worry too much about, you know, transportation cutting into your time. So on that note, I was thinking about a time of year to go. If you want to know more information about all the best tips and tricks for Disneyland Paris, I've done a couple of episodes on that previously. That's not what this episode's about. It's purely about me fantasizing about being able to go back. And my ideal, I think, for going to Disney would be May or June. I would typically go to visit my family probably in the summertime, early summertime, because in England, the summer holidays are end of July and all of August. So that for me is a write-off because I do not want to have all English families in Disneyland with me. And also a lot of other European countries have July, August as their summer holidays. So to slightly avoid that, but to still get that nice, warm beginning of summer weather, May or June, I always deem an ideal time. I also would not recommend going at weekends. So if possible, I'd probably do a midweek stay, like Monday to Wednesday, Tuesday to Thursday, something like that, just to avoid crowds, because you may as well make the most of what you can in order to be able to do more things. So I would ideally go probably June, because that's like right when summer starts to hit, probably beginning of June, and I'd probably go in the middle of the week. Now, as I said, I would like to take the Eurostar, although all the resorts, and I've said this to you before, You don't have to stay in a Disney property in Disneyland Paris in order to get, you know, the perks. There's a lot of partner hotels that also have free shuttles all day long. They have Disney stuff in the hotels. They have really great theming. So you don't have to stay on a Disney property in order to have those experiences. But I think if I'm talking about like my ideal trip back, I personally would love to stay in a Disney hotel, just because recently they have done so many renovations and lots of them have been updated, and I would just love to see that. And also another thing that you can't argue with, a lot of the Disney resorts you can actually walk to the parks. They also have shuttles, but several of them you can walk within 10-15 minutes, you'll be at the park gates. And for me, just having that ease, like getting off the train, walking to my hotel, dropping off my bags, walking to a park probably within 20-30 minutes, you just can't beat that. So for this ideal trip, I think I would love to stay in one of the resorts that surrounds Lake Disney. So for those of you who are new with Disneyland Paris, they have two parks. They have the Disneyland Park, which is like Magic Kingdom. They have Disney Studios Park, and then they have Disney Village, which is like the entertainment district. And right behind Disney Village, there's Lake Disney, which is like a big rectangular lake. And there are three resorts around that. They are the Art of Marvel, which used to be Hotel New York, but that's opening in June, the brand new Marvel Hotel. They have the Sequoia Lodge, and they have Newport Bay Club. Now, these three are not the closest, because the closest is the Disneyland Hotel that is on the gates to Disneyland. But that one is also, as you can imagine, super pricey. The three around the lake, I would say, vary. The Marvel one is obviously 4 stars, that's pretty expensive, but the other two are 3 star. Depending when you go, what time of room you can get some pretty decent deals. I think I would like to stay in Sequoia Lodge because I've stayed in Newport Bay Club before, but that said, I did love Newport Bay Club, so either one of those I'd be super happy with, because then I can drop off my bags and go straight to the parks that first day. So let's talk tickets. Disneyland Paris actually has some of the most affordable tickets of all the Disney parks across the world. On an off-peak day, you know, you're looking at maybe $60, $70 for a park hop or two. And at the moment, they have some really good deals on kind of multi-day hopper trips. Now, if you're going to Disneyland Paris, I've told you this before, I recommend not buying directly from the gate or from them themselves. There are several websites that can sell discount tickets, especially if you buy them ahead of time. My favorite is attractiontickets.com. Now, on here at the moment, you can get a 3-day park hopper for £190, which is about $270, which I think is a fabulous price for 3 days and park hopping. I mean, you would not get that in the US, for example. So that is what I would do. I would take a 3-day hopper, use day 1 and day 3 to do Disney Studios, because there's not as much to do there, and I feel like I could split that over 2 half days without it being too chaotic. And the middle day, day 2, I would spend the whole day in Disneyland Park. Disney Studios typically closes a lot earlier than Disneyland. I mean, sometimes it closes at 6 p.m. or 7 p.m., sometimes even 5 p.m., I think, in the winter. So it's not a late night park. So it's perfect for kind of half days, because you feel like you haven't missed out on anything, like especially on day 3 when you're leaving early, you're not going to be missing out on anything major if you go home a few hours earlier than park close. Whereas Magic Kingdom, well, their Disneyland Park, which I basically call Magic Kingdom because it's basically the same, is normally open later. It can be anything from 8 p.m., 9 p.m., 10 p.m., even 11 p.m. in the summer. So that one, basically, you may as well use your full day on that, because you're going to be maximizing your time and your hours. So let's talk about what I would do, like my layout of the trip, what I would be excited to do, the way I would do it. The Fastpass system in Disneyland Paris is like the Fastpass system in Disneyland California and in Tokyo, where you can't do it ahead of time or on your phone. You have to go to a booth, scan your ticket, and you print it out. You can only have one at a time. So it is a little bit harder to navigate, because you do have to traverse the park if you want to get those tickets, and sometimes they do sell out. So you kind of have to be very on top of what is a priority for you and what you desperately want a fast pass for, and then just beeline it at the beginning of the day. So as I said, day one, you're only going to be basically in Hollywood Studios or Disney Studios Park for maybe 2 or 3 hours by the time you get there and off the train and settled in. So I would say that afternoon is just leisurely, maybe try and get on the ride you really wanted to get on. So if you can't get on it, you've got that third day to try and get on it again. Or if you love it, you can repeat it that third day. So what I would do on day one is, in the studios park, I'm absolutely desperate to go on the Ratatouille ride. I never actually got to go on it because even though I went when it was open a couple of times, the first time it was broken down, and the second time we didn't have time to wait in line. We left it too late. So that one would literally be my beeline. I would go for it, wait in line, I don't care, even if it was an hour, that would be how I'd spend that afternoon. And I'd also, after that, try and get on anything else that I could just to get a head start on the studios park. So on the third day, I wasn't so rushed to do all those headliners. I'd probably also, if I had time on day one, try and get on the new Cars trip ride, because I think that looks great. I love it when they re-theme rides, and that also is going to be a novelty, something new, and something they haven't got anywhere else. So that's something I'm going to want to check out kind of ASAP. As I said that the park closes pretty early, I don't recommend wasting time to get dinner in Hollywood Studios or Disney Studios. I keep mixing up the names because of Florida. I would not recommend eating there because the Disney Studios doesn't have that many great restaurants anyway, and I've always said that Disney Village is the best place to eat if you can hold off. And seeing as it closes pretty early, I would rather not waste any of the park time that day eating, hold it, hold my stomach, and head to Disney Village, because there are so many great options there. And as you've got that whole evening, as the park closed early, it seems like a good way to spend your time and then not be so rushed to do things and still be able to get back relatively early to rest up for your next park day. So in Disney Village, I would probably eat either Rainforest Cafe, Cafe Mickey. I love those two places. They're both pretty pricey, but as I said, this is your first kind of park day. This is how you kind of bring in the trip. I'd probably above all go for Rainforest Cafe because I absolutely love their food. It never disappoints me, and there's things that everybody can enjoy. So it's not, you know, very niche. It's burgers, pasta, curry, seafood. You know, there's something for everyone. And then if I had time, I'm probably going to do some shopping as well, because Disney Village has got some really lovely boutiques, especially for clothes, jewellery, things like that. So not going to lie, probably do that. And if it's nice weather, which it should be in June, a nice little walk back around Lake Disney to my resort, because as I said, my resort's going to be right there. So convenient. And I just wouldn't be able to turn that down if I had the budget to be able to stay in one of those. The next day is where the real full-on park day begins in the Disneyland park. So this one is pretty laid out how the Magic Kingdom is. You've got the Main Street USA, the castle with the hub, and you've got the lands kind of spanning off. The typical ones, Frontierland, Adventureland, you know the drill. So I have basically two tiers or three tiers of things that I kind of really want to get done in that order. Typically, even with or without FastPass, I've not in the past had a problem getting at least my first and second tier done. Like I said, Disneyland isn't typically as busy as Walt Disney World year round, especially if you go off season, which is what I'm planning to do when I next return. So on that note, my tier one top five rides that I always want to get on is Thunder Mountain, Space Mountain, Buzz Lightyear's Laser Blast, Small World, and Pirates of the Caribbean. I love those. Then my tier two are the Storybook Boats, because I think it's so cute. The Teacups, Peter Pan's Flight, Indiana Jones Roller Coaster. No, it's not as cool as the Indiana Jones attraction in Tokyo and Disneyland in California, but it's a unique little roller coaster. It gives you a little bit of thrill, and I like it. And then the other one is Phantom Manor, which is Disneyland Paris's version of Haunted Mansion. They're very similar. I just think the story is different. and the design is a bit different, so I like those. And then tier three is anything else they have in the park that I fancy getting on or I can get on. There's not a short wait, or repeating my favorite things. So that's pretty much how I operate. I do my tiers and get them done until I'm content with everything that I did. My other thing that I have to do in Disneyland is go to the castle, go and see the dragon underneath the castle, and I have to get my Mickey Mouse marshmallow from Main Street USA. And then food-wise, you know, as I've said, Disneyland Paris isn't great for its in-park restaurants and in-park dining. So I'd probably do a couple of quick services, maybe Hakuna Matata over there, or if I was feeling a bit bougie, go to Jack's, Captain Jack's, which is that restaurant I've spoken about. They have down by Pirates of the Caribbean. It's very much like Blue Bayou in Disneyland in California. I love that restaurant, but it is pricey. So, you know, we'll see how I'm feeling, how the budget is going. But that would definitely be my pick for a restaurant if I was going to eat in a restaurant. Otherwise, as I said, if the park isn't closing late, wait and go to Disney Village, or, you know, just get quick service and save your money for Disney Village meals on other days would be my honest opinion. Also on this day, it would be super important to watch the fireworks show, providing they're back. I love Disneyland's fireworks show at night, I would say. I mean, I loved the one in Magic Kingdom, I think it's called Once Upon a Time, but I'm not gonna lie, I found my heart more in the one in Disneyland Paris. I don't know what it is, I don't know if it's because the castle's different and they use the projections better. I just absolutely love the nighttime show in Disneyland Paris, and it's always going to be number one for me. Okay, maybe Fantasmic. I don't know, this is a debate for a different episode. But if there's one thing I know for sure, I have to see that fireworks show. So I'd probably get my marshmallow ahead of time, scope out a nice little spot, and wait and eat my marshmallow and watch that show, because it's just perfect. And if I was gonna, at the end of the park day, hold on and grab like a quick snack from Disney Village on the way to my resort, because again, as I said, so convenient having Disney Village right there to pass by when you walk back to your resort, I might stop by at Earl of Sandwich to get a quick dinner, because their sandwiches are delicious. They do lots of meal deals, and even if they don't, they're still really reasonably priced for the amount of food you get for a theme park. So definitely would stop by there. Now day three, as I said, is again kind of a half day depending on how late you can get the train back. So we'd probably get up as soon as possible, head over to Disney Studios and basically tackle that park head on. At the moment, things are a lot under construction, so I'm not really sure what will be available depending when I go. Supposedly Avengers Campus is going to still open in 2021. I don't know if I believe that, but even if I went in 2-3 years, hopefully that would be open. So I definitely want to head there because it's brand new. I want to see what it's like. And then if any of the other new areas have opened, like Frozen, I'd check that out too. But aside from that, if assuming on day one I could have done Remy and the new Cars ride, day three I'd be focused on the other three headliners in that park, which in my opinion are Crush's Coaster, the Finding Nemo roller coaster, Tower of Terror, because it's a classic, and RC Racer, which is in their Toy Story Land. So the Toy Story Land in Disneyland Paris is different to the one in Walt Disney World. They have a fantastic thrill ride called RC Racer, which is a bit like, you know, those pirate ship boats that go up and down and up and down, but it's on a kind of Scalextric track. And I'd say it goes a little bit over 90 degrees, but it definitely feels like it anyway. And I love that ride, so that would also be a massive priority for me. And then anything else in the park is kind of second tier, and I would just do it if I had time, like the parachute drop. They have a little Cars teacup style ride. They have the flying carpets for Aladdin, you know, and I'd probably end up, if I had any leftover time, trying to get back on Remy's Ratatouille Adventure again or on the Cars one. And then the other main priority for that day for a meal would be I would book a lunch at the Ratatouille restaurant. It's so cute. It makes you feel like you're a little mouse size. All the decoration is so well done, like the tables and the chairs are supposed to look like corks, and they have like the umbrellas you put in cocktails. massive sized as like umbrellas in the place, and it's just really, really cool. And not to mention the food is decent. It's a little bit pricey, but you know, it's what it is in Disney. And I like that there's kind of a showcase of more typical French food as well. And you can actually eat ratatouille there. And they have steak, I think. And they have like tiramisu for dessert. You can also get some French cheeses and French wines there. So I definitely would make that a priority because I love that place. And I'd probably do it, you know, as a lunchtime, as I'm not gonna have time for dinner if I'm leaving early. And that would be my main aim for that day. So yeah, in a nutshell, I think that would be my absolute ideal if I'm able to go to Disneyland Paris within the next few years. I think if you are already in Europe, Eurostar is a really great way to go. But even if you're not, that train station you can still get to from the airport, for example. You can get there from the center of Paris. It is a generic train station. There are trains from, you know, different areas of France, so you can still get to that point and then follow this itinerary like me from that point. It's just obviously not as convenient as the Eurostar, but definitely you can still follow my advice of being by the train station if you want to be within walking distance. Definitely you can do that. I hope you enjoyed hearing about what I would love to do when things are a bit more normal and I can eventually go back to my beloved Disneyland Paris. If you want to talk about anything coming up or any trips that you're planning or dreaming about, feel free to join the conversation at disneyparkwanderer@gmail.com. Now let's round off today's episode with my Disney fact of the day. Today we've got a trio of facts about Disney's Emperor's New Groove. Now, the first working title of this film was Kingdom of the Sun, but I think Emperor's New Groove is a little bit more fun. Also, there was going to be a song by the villain Esma, called Snuff Out the Light. So that could have been interesting to have another Disney villain song, but it was cut. And then lastly, it's one of the first Disney films to feature heavily a pregnant woman, and that character was Patch's wife. That wraps up episode 65 of the Disney Park Wanderer. As always, thank you for taking the time to listen. If you like what you hear, please spread the word, leave a review on Apple Podcasts. It helps a lot. Now, I hope you are going to start enjoying the summer. The summer has arrived, or at least here anyway in the Midwest. I don't know about where you are. And have a wonderful rest of your week. And until next Monday, stay curious.